Well, welcome everybody. Thank you for making the trip over or down or up. This is kind of a unique and one of a kind thing so far. We'll pull some things out here. You know, we've got several things to kind of go over, announcements and all that stuff, but we can kind of do that at any time. We're a small enough group. You can kind of see basically what's happening. We have some activities going on, and we were basing some of those around the weather, and the weather reports seem to change about 3 times a day at this point, and they keep getting warmer and sunnier. So tomorrow was going to be the only semi-sunny day there was, you know, a week ago, and now they're all warm and sunny, but we'll see how it goes. I think most of us have had different kind of understandings of things and kind of looked at things in a different way. And some of those topics and things are not always allowed to be expressed, or sometimes not even really talked about. So I know I personally have had issues with things that I've talked about or spoken about, or even just ideas. And you know, it's not permitted in certain things. I've been accused of a lot of stuff. And so when you start speaking about things, you're sowing discord or causing division or things like that. But I think that's caused a lot of us to kind of go our separate ways from where we were at. This kind of came together. What kind of kickstarted most of it was the calendar issues. So, maybe I don't want to say issues, but, you know, different understanding of the calendar. And we have put together, you know, concluded certain things with the calendar that we agree with. On the calendar itself, I give a lot of leeway to anybody that's got their own understanding, because, honestly, we're not told a lot of information on it. I'm more than happy to explain to anybody why I chose the calendar we're on and why I did not adhere to others, but at some point, it is impossible not to make some kind of interpretation or something. You can't avoid it. So, because it's just not told flat out to us. But this is at least a few times where our calendar has been different than the majority, and we kind of got tired of putting the days that we were, you know, wanting to keep on hold so we could go meet with other people in there. So this particular year, we just, especially with the what's going on in the world, you know, the elements that are happening outside our control, we didn't know what was going on. So earlier this year, we decided that we're going to keep ours and we're going to keep it locally. And a thought was just kind of like, well, maybe there's other people that are on the calendar too, or maybe, you know, just kind of put some feelers out there. So, well, you know, hey, this is where we're going to be. If anybody wants to join us, you're welcome to. It wasn't until people started calling me and emailing me and telling me that they had reserved places to stay when I went, okay, I guess it's happening. So it's kind of one of those, if you build it, they will come type of situations. So it was just an idea that just kind of snowballed into this. And now we've, you know, the whole family's put a lot of work into the yard and getting this place ready to go. And we've tossed around a bunch of ideas. You know, we've tried to have a different kind of understanding and format here where, if anybody has ever wanted to say anything or speak about something or express anything, even if it's just a question that you felt uncomfortable asking, this would be the place to do it. You can speak about whatever you want. I've opened it up to anybody that wants to speak. At the beginning, I was expecting to have to fill in a bunch of days with, I don't know, videos or audios and things like that. And in the last week, if everybody is able to perform what they're hoping to, every day has a live speaker now. So that just kind of fell into place. And thank you for all the everyone that's contributing in that realm. We've kind of left it open to whatever. One day is dedicated to kind of an open forum, kind of trying to be a little more focused on the kids, because they get neglected sometimes, and especially if, you know, we're sitting there getting bushwhacking through the weeds, and they don't even know where, you know, page one is, and so they don't know what the old understanding we don't agree on, and they don't know what the new one is, and so they're just kind of floating. So I'd like to open up to some thoughts to, you know, and open it up to everybody that has any comments, you know. So that would be a day to kind of do that. We put that kind of in the middle of the feast. And, you know, I've, you know, list some names, because I listen to a lot of different things, and I listen to a lot of different people, and don't always agree with everybody. You can't. And so it was interesting that you have some of these people out there, and I don't know them personally, I just hear what they say. But, you know, and a lot of you know these names, and maybe you like them, dislike them, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, you have people kind of like Michael Rood, who has some very interesting things to say, but a lot of people have disliked him for many years. You know, he dressed funny, he had the long hair and the long beard. And what's interesting is he understood a lot of the things that we have learned in the last few years, and he's been openly teaching them for like 30 years. And then, you know, and then this group, of course, you have like Keith Johnson, who's I think he's an ex-Methodist preacher now, but he come from the Methodist background, had some interesting things to say. Most people know Nehemiah Gordon, who's a Karaite Jew. He doesn't believe Yeshua was the Son of God, and he doesn't even look at the New Testament as inspired scripture at all. You have Ross Nichols, who has a lot of interesting things out there. He gets a little wild in some of his ideas too, but, you know, you have James D. Tabor, who doesn't really express exactly where he stands on things, but looks at things from a much more academic side of things. He, from what I can tell, he believes that Paul was kind of a rogue person that started his own religion, and he has inspired a lot of people to dismiss the whole New Testament based on that. You have a guy that's, I don't know his last name, but his name is Derek, and he runs this YouTube thing, I think it's called The Myth Vision, from, I don't want to misrepresent anybody, but I think he's an ex-Christian turned atheist, but still knows a lot about the Bible, still studies it. And the reason I mention those people's names is that you could throw Michael Heiser in there, who unfortunately died in the last year, I think so, maybe 2 years, but I think he died earlier this year. I've learned a lot of things from him, but he was a Sunday keeping, Christmas observing Trinitarian. And there's people that I've tried to share things that he said, and they're like, "Why? Well, I couldn't make it past the first 5 minutes because he mentioned something about the Trinity." I'm like, "Well, so you didn't listen to it at all then?" So, but that group of people, they all know each other. In fact, most of them are friends, and they all collaborate with each other, and they know where everybody's at, and they know that they don't agree with each other in those realms, but they all respect each other. They're all friends. They all speak together. They collaborate. And they come together on what they agree on, and then they discuss some of the things they disagree on, and everything's in a friendly fashion. And I just kind of sitting there going, why can't we do that? Why can't we have open discussions? And why can't we just respect that there are other people with different understandings, especially if it's an interpretational matter, you know, something that's not even spelled out? So that's kind of what we're hoping to kind of do here. And, you know, nothing's, you know, I would say if you do have some questions or would like to speak about something and it is something a little wonky or out there, that's perfectly fine, but I hope you remembered to pack your thicker skin, because there are going to be people that will discuss it, and that's fine. So just, you know, try to make this unoffensive, but just discuss and, you know, open certain things up. This, what we're doing here is, we're not completely winging it. But it's kind of an open forum here, and everything's subject to change, and we will make the necessary adjustments as we go. I didn't think, with such a small place, I didn't think we need any kind of amplification, but if we do, we can add that. I mean, we got enough firepower to blow everyone into the creek if we have to. So, but I don't think we need to. It looks like all the days are getting warmer, but if we do have weather or it gets colder, please dress for it. We, as you can see, center mass here, we've got our heater, which will heat up pretty good. If you're someone that tends to be colder, you can sit nearer to it. If you're someone that usually warmer, you can find seats closer to the door. Some things we're playing by ear. You know, I started getting put to work at feast sites, you know, some years ago. And one thing that I found that kind of struck me is when you kind of start working behind the scenes at a feast, you learn just kind of how thrown together it is. You know, there's a lot of issues and complaints and people scrambling, and you know, they make a pretty good illusion that it's all like, you know, some well-oiled machine, but in reality, it's just, you know, they're just kind of, they're hacking their way through it too, and so we're just not putting on an illusion, we're just being transparent about that. So this is just kind of the way it is, and hopefully it all goes well. I have no reason to think why it shouldn't. I'm looking forward to hearing all the what people have to say. I'm looking forward to getting to know people better that I haven't gotten a chance to. And I'm looking forward to all the discussions. Since it's kind of open to everybody, I thought I'd at least try to maybe wrangle some kind of a message into this and not just an introductory thing. So I sort of dug up an old sermonette that I gave some years ago. And since I want everybody involved, it'd be good to have the audience participation. Lucky you. Nava is going to pass one of these out to everybody. Thank you. Give her a minute to get papers out to everyone that wants them. Years ago, I'd kind of started a study, and I kind of documented all the verses and scriptures that were mentioned in services. My results were kind of interesting and kind of a little bit striking too. And I know some of you have heard this before. And so, but even me having given it, I kind of re-looked at the numbers, and they're still kind of interesting. So what I'm going to have you all do is fill in the numbers instead of me just up here rattling off, you know, numbers and you listening to them. If you actually write them down, it's kind of, well, it at least enters your brain a couple different ways. Oh, where's mine? So, thank you. So you can see I've got books, chapters, and scriptures at the top. And this is just what's in the Bible. Obviously, there's an Old Testament and a New Testament, at least the way that we've divided it up. Does anybody know how many books are in the Bible? 66. So there's the total of 66. In the Old Testament, spot A, there are 39 books in the Old Testament. There are 27 in the New Testament. And as several people have mentioned, there are 66 total. Now, does anybody know how many chapters are in the Bible? So, Old Testament, space D. By the way, if you notice, there's exactly 26 spots, and I had exactly one spot for every letter of the alphabet. That was not planned. That just happened. I'm not that smart. So, there are 929 chapters in the Old Testament. 929. There are 260 in the New Testament, which makes a total of chapters of 1,189. Okay, scriptures, and this is where we're kind of the main focus here. I'm going to guess nobody knows how many scriptures there are. So I'll just go ahead and tell you. In the Old Testament, there is 23,186. 23,186. In the New, there is 7,958. 7,958. Which makes a total of 31,144. So the 31,144 scriptures, that is debatable. Obviously, there are different versions and there's different levels of who's counting things. I know the Book of Psalms is a big one. There's a lot of kind of headings and kind of introductions that some people count as verses and some people don't. So I had several sources that I just, you know, I did not count all these. Okay, I looked up sources for this. So what I did is just took all the sources and then I took an average. And it averaged out to 31,144 as a total. And just to ease everybody's mind, none of those sources was Wikipedia. So, what my study was, I wanted to know how many scriptures you go through in church service. So, all I did for one solid year, I said, well, how many scriptures do you go through in a year? So, in 1 year, I recorded every single scripture that was mentioned at all. I went to every Sabbath the whole year, all the holy days, the feasts, all 7 days of the feast, Passover, all of them, every service, okay? And I recorded my results. So you can see my first year, I did this for 2 years, because after the end of the first year, I said, well, I wonder how many you would go through in 2 years. So during the first year, services in Space J, I attended 65 services. In the second year, in K, I attended 64 services, which is a total of 129 services from 2 years. Now, the number of scriptures that were mentioned the first year in Space M was 4,040. 4040. In the second year, it was 4,211. So 4040 the first year and 4211 the second year. 65 services and 64 services. So fairly balanced in those 2 years. The total scriptures in Space O that was brought up in 2 years was 8,251. So, that seems like a pretty good bite. 8,000, you know, 251 in 2 years. You know, you could start closing in on that 31,000. However, that doesn't count all the repeats that were there. So, you can see on the little row that's repeats in Space P, the first year there were 761 verses of those verses that were repeats. Some are repeated quite a bit. And since we're going through second year, the repeats more than almost tripled. It's 1,813. So the total number of repeated scriptures in Space R was 2,574. I apologize to anyone that's not a number person. It's a little number oriented here, but the numbers are interesting. So since there's a total number of scriptures was 8,251 that was mentioned in those 2 years, you can subtract the 2,574 in Space R, which leaves the remainder in Space S as 5,677. And you're like, well, okay, not quite as much as before, but you should still be able to get there. Well, some of those weren't even turned to at all. They were just referenced. So In the first year, in space T, 286 scriptures were referenced only and not turned to in red. And in the second year, in space U, it was 399. Which leaves a total of referenced scriptures that were not turned to in red in space V as 685. So you can subtract that 685 from the number in space S, and what you get there for space W is 4,992. So in 2 years, there were 4,992 scriptures that were actually turned to in red in 2 years in every single service that I attended. 129 services, 4,992. You know, I took a little bit of trivia here for you all, because since I'm keeping track of all this, there was the most amount of scriptures turned to in one sermon was 145. That's a lot of scriptures when you take into account that, you know, most services are about 50 minutes long. You're pretty much just reading scriptures, which some people don't care for because they want to hear a message. Now, any guesses on how many scriptures were turned to in the sermon that gave the least amount? Zero. And there was more than one that had zero scriptures turned to it. So, in X, total scriptures, same number that's in space I, it's 31,144. Total scriptures read was 4,992. That will go in space Y, which leaves a number of unread scriptures after those 2 years of 26,152. Now, you still think, well, 2 years, you got almost 5,000. Okay, you got 26 left. You should be able to get there. Like, how many years would it take to get that? Well, when I was a teenager, I was gifted a Bible. It's right here. Still have it. I've had this for like 26 years. Okay. Now, when I first got it, I don't use it as much anymore. First of all, it's filled with notes and little things that I don't probably agree with most of them anymore. But when I got it, you know, being a kid, I had this idea of like, okay, whenever we were in church, they would read a scripture, I would take my highlighter, and I'd highlight that verse, thinking eventually I'd have the whole thing highlighted. And then I could sit there and say, hey, you know, show somebody, here's my Bible, I've highlighted the important parts. But nobody was ever going to hear that joke. And so, again, do you have any idea what happens to the thin pages of a Bible when you highlight both sides of them? You might as well dip it in water, okay? So I've risked kind of damaging several pages. So I stopped the highlighter thing. And what I started doing is just kind of making a mark on the number of each verse. So as somebody was going, I would just mark the number. Over 20 years of doing this, do you have any idea where I'm at on this 31,144 scriptures after 20-something years? Not even close. Not even close. We're talking a fraction. And, you know, even ministers will joke around about this, where they talk about they even have a name for it, their core 200, or maybe core 300. Those are the list of scriptures they live in. They live there, that's the whole thing. And most people that speak kind of hover around what they know. And like I said, they even have a name for it and they joke about it. We talk about our core 200 or our core 300 or something. They don't stray too often from the verses that they like to use. So you keep hearing them over and over and over again. I used to think years ago that you go to church to kind of learn the Bible. Well, I eventually learned that no, you don't, because they don't really go through the Bible. They give these kind of feel-good you know, fluffy sermons. You know, they don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to cover any ground. They just, a lot of them just want to get through the message giving. So that first year of doing this, there were 12 books of the Bible that weren't even referenced by one scripture. 12 of the 66 books, if they were separate books, never got off the shelf and never saw the light of day in a year of looking at it. You know, all of this, all this talk about scriptures, why don't we turn to one? So, oh. Where am I turning? I think it's 2 Peter. No, sorry, 2 Timothy 3:16. Okay, what's the first word? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, there's obviously a difference of interpretations, there are differences in how things are translated, but the word of God coming from him, you know, even though there's some alterations and there's things that you do have to kind of dig through, it's here, okay? Not in 200 verses. It's in 30-something thousand, you know. Another verse, Deuteronomy, all the way back close to the beginning. Deuteronomy 8. I'm probably flipping those pages right next to the recorder. Just like I was told not to. Deuteronomy 8:3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that the man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yehovah. Okay, so there's, you know, when I gave this sermonette, I only gave it one other time. As soon as I was done, this lady from the congregation kind of marched right up to me and with a little bit of an attitude kind of said, well, you know, repetition is how we learn. And I just immediately thought, I was like, way to completely miss the point. Yeah, I know repetition is how we learn, but how could you possibly learn anything if you're sticking to just 200 or 300 verses in the Bible? Like, your whole life. That's less than 1% of the Bible. And that's where everybody lives. I don't know how many verses I have gone through, but it is not even close to the whole thing. And like I said, I've owned the Bible for 26 years. And a lot of these that I have marked are from my own reading, not from anybody that mentioned them. So, if you're relying solely on what you're getting fed to from any kind of church service, you're just getting a tiny taste of something. How could you possibly learn what is in there if you're only going through at the best 1% of it, and you're getting somebody else's idea? There's a lot, somebody else's interpretation and somebody else's ideas on like 1% of the Bible. And a lot of those people, not only do they not know even close to the whole story, they're not interested in knowing the whole story. They stick with those. And this is where they exist, and that's the world to them. And so any other verses that come up that are contrary than what they talk about is either ignored, explained away, or kicked out the door. That is something that we're trying not to do here. Let's get the whole story. And the more people that are looking at more things, the more information you're going to gather. And so that's what I would like kind of this to be for, you know. If it's in there, it's in there. If it's a wrong translation, if it's a wrong, you know, interpretation, well, we got to dig those things out. But one thing we've also kind of noticed in, you know, last several years is, well, if the Bible says something 25 times, and then there's two verses over here that don't quite sound like that, I think the 25 is probably the answer. We don't use, if you've gotten to the point where you're arguing this verse versus that verse, well, I think you've missed it. You've missed the point. There are things that seemingly contradict each other, and there's some that don't really have answers, but they need studied into, and those answers need to be found. Or, you know, you just accept the fact that you don't know. But that's kind of the introductory thing here to this feast. I don't have a name for the feast. Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, 2024, Spring Creek Freak Week. So we've got... I do thank everybody for showing up and taking the time. Some people came a long distance for this, and that's kind of surprising and shocking. So thank you to everybody. Thank you to everybody that's contributing and helping this, whatever this is, get going. And let's see where we go.